Word on Today FM.
Let's go to the last word of music for 2026. Dee Reddy and John Cadell are with us. We have so much to get through. I think I'm going to leave the gigs until next week. But Dee, I'm actually decided I'm going to wind John up here by letting you start with your pick of the week, because I suspect he will hate the name of the band that you have your pick of the week, because it is...
Dry cleaning. Yes,
you should see. You're on FaceTime. You should see John's face in here.
Oh, I
when
don't
you said
need
that.
To. I don't need to. I have that locked in. I actually, because the song is called Joy, and I actually said in my email earlier, I'm choosing this song because I know it will bring joy to John to have to talk about a band called Dry Cleaning. But they are an excellent band. They're kind of now considered almost indie royalty. They're from the UK.
Damned with faint praise there, Dee.
And this is from their third album. And it is the latest single from it.
Ourselves and yourselves need news. Tried to make a map of the heart. Down your hollow tube. Out to find a small flat joy with the
Dee, it's the start of 2026, so I suspect you might have better than that during the year, even as early as next week.
Dry mouth.
Fair enough. I quite like the vocal styles of Kate Le Bon, who is in fact not related to Simon Le Bon, but took the name as a sort of joke and tribute. But to each their own. You listen, you can't win every week. And, you know, I just like to give John a little bit of a head start coming into the new year, Matt.
Well, if you're talking about vocals, Dee, like, I'm sorry, but this is going to put yours to shame. It's an old song, but a new mix. So Stranger Things has been everywhere because it's been the final season and it was released in two parts. And this was the song that soundtracked the trailer. But it's available now to listen to stream and to buy if you're so inclined. It's the Stranger Things version of Queen's Who Wants to Live Forever. Here's a little taste.
You're mad into your remixes these days.
I love them.
Tell us about the original of that, John. How different is it?
Well, it was reorchestrated for the Stranger Things remix, but it had orchestral elements in its original form on the album A Kind of Magic. It was famously used in its original form for the soundtrack of Highlander, and actually Queen's A Kind of Magic album started out as the Highlander soundtrack. But yeah, it's about 4 minutes long originally. And it was released as a single at the time, but I mean, I wouldn't even like to be Brian May singing before Freddie Mercury there, because he just puts everybody to shame with that voice. Just insane. And that stripped down version just brings the voice out even clearer. I had goosebumps listening to that.
Okay, that's from Stranger Things, but there seems to be a Prince revival, Dee, as well, isn't there, as a result of When Doves Cry featuring on Stranger Things?
Yeah, I was gonna joke with John there that's not even, like, when he's not usually doing new music, that's not even the most recent song to re-hit the charts on foot of Stranger Things. But yeah, Prince's When Doves Cry was featured in the Stranger Things finale, and its streams have increased by 190%. So that obviously follows the trend of Queen, and last series. We saw it with Kate Bush as well. But it is, I think it's one of my enduring things that I love about the, one of the few things I love about the streaming world is you do get these cultural moments that are happening elsewhere, and the availability of the music via the likes of streaming does mean that younger audiences are quicker to pick it up again and be able to find it, which is kind of cool.
Okay, when Doves Cry was Prince's first number one in the US, it was on the 1984 album Purple Rain.
And it's got no bass line.
Rain also featured.
And interestingly, the Prince estate never ever licensed the song Purple Rain when it's not to do with the movie of the same name, and in this instance they made an exception for Stranger Things.
Okay.
I mean, that movie is quite the watch.
Yeah, it is. If you want bad acting but great songs,
the song is the only thing going for it, so you can see why they don't license it very often.
Okay, let's talk about the new albums coming out. I'm going to keep the gigs for next week because we never get through all the new album releases that are forthcoming and the gigs as well. So the albums, who's looking forward to the new Madonna album?
Well, it's called Confessions of a Dance Floor Part 2. Now, I'm always wary when bands do Part 2 of an album. Chris Rea, God rest him, did it with The Road to Hell. And it's sort of like, remember when I was good? That's sort of what it says to me. So Madonna... this is a regressive step for Madonna, as far as I'm concerned, calling the album Confessions on a Dance Floor Part 2. Because what it's doing is trying to remind you of something that was great and sort of making excuses for the fact that this mightn't be. But we
There's also a worry that you might be getting the sort of offcuts from Part 1 as well.
Yeah, which of course we won't, because she's teamed up with Stuart Price to do an entire new album. It's just, I think it's a bad move doing a Part 2 of any album.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Confessions on a Dance Floor as our get together from the original. That's a high benchmark.
It is. I mean, her innate madness will be in full effect, I'm sure. What I'd love for this album is for it to be, and I'm slightly contradicting myself here, I'd love it to be like a reminder of all the great things about Madonna. I'd love her just to do an album that sort of throws back to all of her best stuff.
Well, you have contradicted yourself.
I have
there.
Utterly, yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, because there's such a mix within what John's talking about. She's done different genres, she's done different eras, and that just, like Confessions Part 2, just feels like it's going to be stuck in not her best era, to be honest with you.
Zach Bryan had enormous crowds in the Phoenix Park last year, didn't he? And he's back in Ireland this year as well, in Cork, I think, and in Belfast, with a new album as well, which I think is coming out in just a few days' time.
That's right. And he only actually completed the recording back in December. So that's a pretty quick turnabout. And it is, as you said, just the start of a very, very busy year for him. He's going to be playing stadiums in the US, in Europe and the UK. And the new record is called With Heaven on Top.
Of course, there's a trend now as well, John, isn't there, of a lot of albums are being released sort of a few tracks at a time. Mm. So, for example, Gorillaz have The Mountain coming out at the end of February, but about a third of it at least is available at present to download.
Yeah, because, you know, obviously...
And it's good.
Yeah. And we
it's very good.
We consume music completely differently to how we used to even when Gorillaz started out 20-odd years ago. So yeah, they're sort of drip-feeding people the album. So when it comes out, you'll be familiar with a lot of it. And this one, like it says here that Damon's musical ethos has long been to look for inspiration in different scenes and communities around the world. In other words, he's influenced by different cultures, which some people will be crowing about cultural appropriation as they have in the past when he did an album about music from Mali. But that's not the point. The point is that, you know, whatever he turns his hand to, it's good quality stuff. And this time he's gone around... He has gone to India for inspiration, so there'll be a slight Indian feel towards the album in general.
He does tend to platform musicians from around the world in a more collaborative way rather than just steal. So I do think that is quite a significant difference that people should be aware of.
Yeah.
Now, Dee, Charlie XCX is definitely an interesting character. Brat Summer, big thing 18 months ago. Silver Screen last year. But now she has got a very ambitious project coming out next month, hasn't she?
Yeah, and this is interesting because I've seen it described as a companion album to Emerald Fennell's upcoming adaptation of Emily Bronte's Wuthering Heights. Now, obviously, normally the word that you would use there is soundtrack. So calling it a companion album to me is kind of exciting. Feels like she's going to be doing something a little bit different.
Does that suggest that the music is not going to be used on the movie?
But that, like, not all of it is. Yeah, that, you know, it might take some inspiration from the book or from other, you know, perhaps Kate Bush and all of that. So, yeah, it's really interesting to me. She shared two tracks from it already that are really, really different. One was that largely spoken word track featuring John Cale from the Velvet Underground, of which she's a huge fan. And then there was one that was kind of a more typical anthemic one called Chains of Love. So it's kind of hard to parse from that what way the album will go. But I think it could be really, really interesting, Matt.
And there is a precedent for this. Our old friend Prince did an album called Batman, which was used in the movie. And there was also the official score released on CD by Danny Elfman. So, so it's not the first time.
It makes sense. It is a cool way to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, what are we expecting from Kneecap this year?
But before we do, have you heard Chains of Love, which is the second taster from this companion?
I don't have it.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant if you haven't.
It's excellent.
It. Yeah, it's very, very good.
Okay, what about Kneecap?
I'm just glad that, I think we said last year, Kneecap, they're in danger of the politics overtaking their music. I'm glad to see that they're going to come out with some new music because I think really they'd be happy, not to speak for them, I think they'd be happy for the focus to go back on the music that they create. So that looks like we're going to get some new stuff from them in 2026.
Okay. Listener says, Peter Gabriel has started to release one new track for each month of 2026, leading to the full release of the OI album at the end of the year, the follow-up to the IO album of 2023.
And he releases each song on the full moon on each month.
Oh, very good. That's pretty Gavin and a tie.
But if you think about it, the albums, as we think about them, were really just designed on the basis of how a record was made. So it does make sense that artists would actually evolve with the technology.
Okay, tell us about the new Mumford & Sons album, please, Dee.
Ah, yes, very exciting.
sound that enthusiastic.
I know.
Better than dry cleaning.
Well, I don't know about that. They're gearing up for a world tour that's launching this month ahead of their upcoming sixth album. They've confirmed that the album was written and recorded within a 10-day session. Probably exceptionally hard to do when your music, you know, doesn't have a really consistent, coherent, particular sound that sounds the same every single time. And the album is going to feature a number of special guests, I know, including country singer Chris Stapleton and fellow folk artists Gracie Abrams and Hozier. So that last part is kind of interesting to me.
Lana Del Rey, very popular here in Ireland as well, John. So she has a new album called Stove.
Yeah.
We don't know when this year it'll come out.
Well, we often talk about crap band names. That's a crap album name.
Stove.
There's a country feel to this album, apparently. Lizzie has said that when she was first talking about doing country music 8 or 9 years ago, nobody was interested in country, and now she said it's everywhere. So I think that's her preempting people saying she's jumping on the country bandwagon. But yes, Stove is coming out later this year. It was already meant to come out under different names last year and the year before, but I think this year we're finally going to get it.
I did see a bit of speculation just on the name that it was kind of her leaning into her trad wife era. So
right.
I suppose it makes sense in that context.
Dee, we have two boy band stars of different eras who went solo with new albums out, Robbie Williams and Harry Styles. So what are we expecting?
Yeah, so Robbie Williams' Britpop is coming out on February 6th. He has been kind of teasing the album since last summer. Everybody sort of knows what it's going to be. He says it's returned as it's a return to the kind of big pop blockbuster releases of his past. And yeah, I kind of love the fact that he's called it Britpop, to be honest with you, because he was treated, you know, like a has-been or a kind of extra during the Britpop era of old. So to kind of actually use that as the name of his genuinely pop album is kind of amusing to me. Then we've also got Harry Styles. So fans were given a bit of a New Year's Eve surprise when he dropped this lovely, lovely, soulful piano ballad, Forever, Forever. Gorgeous music video where you've got loads of his fans speaking and kind of anticipating what he might wear, what he might do, going to see him. And then there's some extra details to this that are just, I don't know if we needed to hear them. They're a bit scarlet. But basically, apparently, he wrote the lyrical material on a vintage typewriter.
Preppy.
Very. And Ed Sheeran, though, has chimed in to say that he thinks it's quality. So one word there from Sheeran himself.
Okay, John, how long is this since we've had the XX with a new album?
Oh, yeah, nobody cares. This, like, why?
Okay, is Beyonce going to release a rock album, Dee?
I think almost certainly. The fact that kind of one of the videos promoting her last album saw her go into a bar on a horse and go out on a motorcycle is kind of putting a pin in that.
Telegraphing it.
Yeah, yeah. And then also all of the albums thus far of this trio of albums have kind of gone and taken a genre of music that's been co-opted by white musicians that originally had roots in black music culture. And rock seems like the natural next step of that, really, doesn't it?
Could we get more Oasis music this year, do you reckon, John? There's been suggestions that they could be writing the theme song for the next James Bond movie, but that wouldn't be until next year anyway. Although I've also seen Dua Lipa has been mentioned because her boyfriend is possibly going to be the next Bond.
Right, yeah. Noel says he's interested. If Noel says he's interested in writing it as opposed to Liam saying he's interested in writing it, it's probably going to happen. For him to say, yeah, he's literally putting his spoke in for the new.
They're not
Bond.
Very Bond, though, are they?
Says who? Well, what is Bond?
Okay, all right. Parka instead of a tux.
No, Dee, you're being very surface level there and quite facetious.
I apologise.
A band that's written.
That's John's job.
Absolutely.
a band that's written Champagne Supernova, a band that's written something like Stop Crying Your Heart Out, they could absolutely do a killer Bond thing.
Well, maybe we'll get Martini Supernova.
No, possibly.
I wonder, will we get new Oasis music? There is the possibility that they might tour again after 2027, but will they just be again playing all the old stuff?
I feel like they probably will.
Yeah, I don't see a new Oasis album. I mean, I think Noel himself would say that they sort of shat on their own legacy by releasing Be Here Now and some of the albums after. He says they should have broken up after the first two albums. I don't see them releasing a new album.
All right, look, I'm going to have to leave it there. We'll get to all the gigs next week. Thank you very much, Dee Reddy and John Cadell. The Last Word on Today FM.